Have you ever noticed that not everybody sees things the way that you see things? Have you figured that out? You figured out that not everybody sees things the same way that you do. Are anybody married? Have you figured out that your spouse doesn't see things the same way that you see things? Isn't that sad? That your spouse doesn't see everything the same way that you do. When was the first time you figured out that your boss doesn't see things the same way that you see things? When was the first time that you figured out that your kids don't see things the way that you see things? When was the first time you figured out that your teacher at school just didn't see things the way that you see things? Wouldn't it be nice if everybody would just see things the way that you see things? Wouldn't that make life so much better if they would just stop being wrong and start being right with you? What would life be like if everybody saw things the same way that you see things? That'd be interesting, wouldn't it? But I want us to obviously take that in a direction this morning and to think about, have you ever noticed that the way that you see things is not always the way that God sees things? Have you ever noticed that difference? That you don't always see things the same way that God sees things. Don't you wish that God would just learn to see things the way that you see things, so that then both of you could be right about how things ought to be seen? Obviously, that's not the way it works, is it? Our lives would be so much better, so much richer, so much more fulfilling if we would be one who would stop saying to God, how about you just see things the way that I see things, and instead say to God, I want to learn to see things the way that you see things. Our lives would be so much better. This morning I want us to think about that concept, about how we can learn to see things as God wants us to see them. And there's a number of important points that that would be good for us to notice, but I just want us to see three things this morning. It'd be a whole lot better if we'd see these three things the way that God sees them. First thing is, we need to learn to see stuff the way that God sees stuff. What does that mean? Turn your Bible to Colossians chapter 3. Look in Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to see that we need to learn to see things the way that God sees things. How does God see things? The thingamabobs that are in your life, how does God see those things? If we're going to see stuff the way God sees stuff, then the things that are in our life, we need to learn to see them the way that God sees them. Look in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. The Bible says, if then you were raised with Christ, if you were baptized into Christ, you were raised to walk in newness of life, and now you are a New Testament Christian. If then you've been raised with Christ, seek those things. You see the word seek? You got to see in order to seek. Seek those things, what? Seek those things that are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Seek the things that are above. Set your mind on things. On what? Set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. Why in the world would I ever do that? What's the next verse say? The next verse starts with the word for, that tells you the reason. Why would I ever do that? For you died. Say what? You died. That's why he starts in verse 1. If then you've been raised with Christ. Well, when was I raised with Christ? When I died to self. And when I was buried in baptism with Christ. And now I've been raised to walk in newness of life. Why would I seek the things that are above? Because I died. For you died, and your life is hidden. Where is your life hidden? With Christ in God. Our lives would be so much richer if we'd learn to see things the way that God sees things. To focus on the heavenly things more than we are focusing on the earthly things. When you look at your life, which one gets more attention? When you look at your life and what you are seeking in your life, which one are you seeking more? Heavenly things or earthly things? But it's not just about things. If we're going to see stuff the way that God sees stuff, that involves seeing pleasures in the way that God sees pleasures. What is it that brings you pleasure? What is it that brings me pleasure? Is that the same thing that brings God pleasure? In Psalm 5 in verse 4, the Bible says that God finds no pleasure, zero. God finds no pleasure in wickedness. No pleasure does God find in wickedness. If I'm going to see things the way God sees things, if I'm going to see stuff and pleasures the way God sees stuff, then do I find pleasure in wickedness? Where does God find pleasure? Psalm 69, verses 30 and 31 say that when we sing praise to Him and when we give thanksgiving to Him, this is pleasing to the Lord. The Lord finds pleasure in singing praise to Him. The Lord finds pleasure when we give thanks to Him. Is that where we find pleasure? The Bible says that needs to be where our heart is. That we focus our hearts in on that which truly brings pleasure to our God. Psalm 149 in verse 4. The Bible says that God finds pleasure. Hear this. God finds pleasure in His people. That's where God finds pleasure, is in His people. Do we find pleasure in God's people? If we're going to see things the way God sees things, if we're going to see stuff and see pleasures the way He does, then we need to see it the way that He sees. Do we find pleasure in being together? Do we find pleasure in enjoying each other's company? In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16, the Bible tells us to remember something. The Bible tells us, remember, do not forget to do good, number one, and to share, number two. Do not forget, remember to do good and to share. Why? For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. What brings God pleasure? When I do good and when I share with others. Does that bring me pleasure? If I'm going to see things the way God sees things, I've got to learn to see pleasures, not in a fleshly way, but to see pleasures in a godly way. And I need to say to God, God, whatever brings you pleasure, that's what I'm going to do so that it can bring me pleasure. That's not the way the world thinks. That's not the way everybody else around us thinks. That's not the way we used to think before we became a Christian. But now that we are a Christian, we need to see stuff through the eternal lens of God. And say, instead of seeing it through my lens, I want to see stuff the way God sees stuff. Number two, we not only need to see stuff the way God sees stuff, we need to see situations in the way that God sees situations. Do you think you see situations differently sometimes in the way God sees situations? Sometimes we might look at a situation and we might see evil being done against us. But do you remember what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20? What Joseph said in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20 to his brothers who had thrown him into a pit, sold him into slavery, lied to their father to make him believe that his son had been killed, had gone to Egypt and was there as a slave, as a prisoner, and had all of this transpire in his life. And what did he say to his brothers in Genesis 50 and verse 20? You meant it for evil against me. Sometimes we see evil being done against us. But Joseph went on to say, but God meant it for good. We cannot always see what God sees. We're not infinite. We are not omnipresent. We cannot always see what God sees. But if we're going to see situations in the way God sees situations, we need to learn to trust in the providence of God. That while there may be evil being done, and there while there may be even evil being done against us, is there some good that God might see come out of this? You meant it for evil. God meant it for good. We know that all things work together for... It's the same word, isn't it? In Romans 8 and verse 28, you meant it for evil. God meant it for good. Romans 8 and verse 28 says, we know that all things work together for... Same word, good. To those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to His purpose, we need to trust God's providence and pray to Him and ask Him to work through whatever situations we might find ourselves in. Sometimes it might be that we see the suffering that we are enduring. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Sometimes it might be that we see suffering that we are enduring, but is it possible that God sees something else in the suffering? As you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul said over in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18, For these, the sufferings, he says, of this present time, the sufferings of this present age, are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Paul says we can see the sufferings, but he says they don't compare with what God has in store for us. So you're in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse 17. Paul says, for our light affliction. Think about that word light in regard to everything that Paul endured. You want to see a list of what Paul endured? Go over to chapter 11 sometime. Read verses chapter 11 starting in verse 23 of this same book and read a list of some things that Paul had endured up to that point, and then come back here to chapter 4 and read light affliction. If we had endured anything like what Paul had endured, we would not be describing it as light. Paul says, it's light. Our light affliction, which is not forever, but is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We see the suffering. God sees the eternal glory that He has prepared for us. And so He says in verse 18, while we do not look... If we're going to see things the way that God sees things, we've got to look at things the way God looks at things. For we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen, they're eternal. So hard to go through suffering. But sometimes we not only need to trust in the providence of God, sometimes we've just got to determine, I'm going to tough this out. And I'm going to tough it out not for my sake. I'm going to tough it out for God's sake. Not for my glory. Not for what I for my good, but I'm going to do it for His glory. I've got to see situations the way God sees situations. I need to see that there may be some good that God is working. There's some glory, at least eternal glory, that He has awaiting me. But in the third place, on this particular point, if I'm going to see situations the way that God sees situations, then I need to not look at the obstacles that... Turn to Colossians chapter 4. Look at this verse in Colossians 4. I need to not be focused so much on the obstacles that are in front of me as much as I focus on the doors that are being opened for me. Look in Colossians chapter 4. And as you turn to the book of Colossians, think in your mind about the book of Colossians. What do you know about it? It's a book that the Apostle Paul wrote while he was a prisoner in Rome. I want you to think about that. He's writing this book along with a number of other books while he's a prisoner in Rome. That's the context of this book. And in verse 2 of Colossians chapter 4, he's talking about prayer as he often does. And he says in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 4, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in your prayer with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us. Skip down to the end of the verse for just a second. What does Paul say at the end of verse 3? What's happening to Paul? I am in chains. Would that have been an easy thing for the Apostle Paul to be focused on? If you were literally in chains, where would your attention be devoted? He says, I am in chains. Was that a potential, hear the word potential, was that a potential obstacle for Paul? Is that a potential obstacle for anybody to be in chains? Yeah. To be a prisoner, to be imprisoned is, at that time in Rome was an obstacle. And that's why he was a prisoner. We want you to stop preaching about Jesus, so we are going to arrest you and put you in prison so you will stop preaching about Jesus. It was intended as an obstacle. Now, we know it didn't work, but it was an obstacle. He wasn't focused on the obstacle, was he? What does he say in verse 3? Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. Sometimes we look at the obstacle, why we can't do something for the Lord, instead of praying and asking God, Lord, would you open a door for me? Instead of looking at why I can't do something, I need to look for opportunities to do something and say, this is why I can do it for the Lord, because He has opened this door. I've asked Him to make this easier. I've asked Him to open a door out there in front of me. Do we do that? Do we look at situations, oh, well, nope, I can't do that because this came up. Or do I look for a door, trusting God's providence, toughing things out when the going gets tough, and then taking advantage of opportunities that He lays out in front of me? If I'm going to learn to see things the way God sees things, I need to look through His eternal lens at stuff in this life, things and pleasures. I need to look at situations in this life and try to see them the way God sees them. But finally, this morning, if we're going to see things the way God sees things, then we need to learn to see souls the way God sees souls. You see, God does not look at the outside appearance of a person. Now, don't misunderstand that. That's not talking about whether somebody's dressed modestly or immodestly and whether God cares about that. I'm talking about the fact that God doesn't look at the external of a person. God doesn't care what color somebody's skin is. God doesn't care what somebody looks like. When God looks at people, God sees a person. He sees a person. He sees who that person is. And when God looks at a person, He sees that that person's got a heart. He sees that that person has desires. That person has feelings, has wants and needs. When I look at others in this world, do I see people? Do I see the person, or am I only looking on the external? Look in 1 Samuel chapter 16. You know what 1 Samuel chapter 16 is about. You know that Samuel comes to find the next king of Israel. And he's coming to the household of Jesse to find the next king of Israel. And as he comes to the household of Jesse, there's all sorts of great specimen in the sons of Jesse to be the next king of Israel. And he goes through each of them progressively from the oldest down all the way. And, you know, Samuel's realizing that he's not seeing things in the household of Jesse the same way God sees them. So in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7, the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature. Stop looking at the outside, because I have refused him. For the Lord, here it is, does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. There are many things that we cannot see that God sees. The last two verses of John chapter 2 say that Jesus was able to see man's heart and to know man. We're not able to do that. But we need to learn to do our best to look beyond the external and begin to look at somebody and to see that they have a soul. Not just what they look like on the outside, but that this is a person. This is a person who has a soul that is made in the image of God. What makes a person, you see, different from the iguanas that we have all over this place and we can't seem to get rid of all these iguanas? What makes them different from an iguana? They've got a soul. It's been made in the image of God. And that soul is going to exist forever. That soul is going to abide forever in one of two places for all of eternity. And that soul, made in the image of God, who's going to spend an eternity in heaven or an eternity in hell, has the ability to make the determination where he will spend eternity. It's not made up for him. It's not predestined where he's going to spend eternity. That soul that we see has the ability to make that determination for himself where he wants to spend eternity. If I'm going to learn to see souls the way that God sees souls, then I need to learn to assume that every soul person, every soul I see is lost. I need to determine that when I leave this place and when I encounter individuals in this world, I just need to assume that every one of them is lost unless and until I learn otherwise. Why? Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3 and verse 23. Because many are walking, not few, but many are walking the path to destruction, Matthew 7, 13 and 14. I need to assume that everybody I meet is lost. 1 John 5 and verse 19, the Bible says, the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. We need to believe that. And we need to assume that everybody we meet is lost and is in need of the gospel. When we do that, the next step is to acknowledge. I assume that they're lost, and now I acknowledge that I am responsible and I am accountable for that soul. We don't have time, and we're not going to take time this morning to look at those first 9 verses of Ezekiel 33. But would you read those first verses of Ezekiel 33 and make application to yourself? Where God says, I'm setting up a watchman. And when I warn that watchman of what I'm going to do, if that watchman doesn't tell everybody else what I've warned him about, then I'm going to hold that watchman accountable. But if I warn that watchman what I'm going to do, and that watchman does warn everybody else what God's going to do, if they don't listen and if they don't obey, that's on them. I won't hold this watchman accountable. God has stationed us as His watchmen. God has positioned us as Christians as His only way of warning the world that Jesus is coming, that eternity is coming. That's why Paul says in Colossians 1 verse 28, Him we preach, Christ we preach, we warn every man, we teach every man that we may present every man perfect in Christ. That's what we ought to want. Assuming everybody that we meet is lost. Acknowledging that it's not up to brother or sister so-and-so to do something about it. I am responsible. I am accountable. God will hold me accountable for whether I fulfill the responsibility. So, I assume they're lost. I acknowledge my responsibility, and then I accept it. There's a difference between acknowledging something and accepting something. Oh, yep, that's right. I acknowledge it. That's true. You haven't accepted it yet. Acceptance means I receive it and I will obey it. You know Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to the easy creatures. Right? Preach the gospel to the ones that are just asking you for it and just begging you for it. Well, you preach the gospel to them. Who you preach the gospel to? Every creature. Because we assume that every single one of them is lost. We assume they're lost. We acknowledge we are going to be held accountable for what we do. We accept the responsibility, but we haven't done anything until we act. Until we get up like those first century Christians in Acts 8 and verse 4, and we go everywhere. Go where? Everywhere, preaching the word. We will do that when we learn to see souls the way that God sees souls. I challenge you this year. I challenge you in 2020 to strive as hard as you can to see souls the way that God sees them. Do you want God to look upon you with favor? Do you want God to look down and to see your soul and want you to be saved? God looks down and sees all souls, and He wants all of them to be saved. And the only mechanism that He has in place by which they can be saved is right here. It's found in His children, found in His church. Will we learn to see things the way God sees things? I want to challenge you. And I want to challenge you to plan to be here for the next 3 Sunday nights, starting next Sunday, the 12th, the 19th, and the 26th. On those Sunday nights, as we talk about something that's not new for a lot of people in this congregation anyway, but 3 Bible studies that any Christian can use in teaching somebody else the gospel. You don't have to have a Bible degree. You don't have to know everything that's on every page of your Bible. You don't have to have all of this great knowledge that all of these seasoned Christians have. You need a Bible and a pen in order to teach somebody the gospel with these booklets. I want you to be here every Sunday night, but I want to encourage you for those 3 Sunday nights to be here. And let's talk about how can we teach somebody the gospel. Every first Sunday of the year, we present to the congregation what's the theme going to be for this year. I enjoyed last year's theme of Press On. I think it was one of our better themes. So many applications you make of pressing on in the Christian life. But what do you think the theme would be for 2020? Based upon this sermon, what do you think the theme would be for 2020? I know some of you are going to think, oh, it's silly. You're just playing off of the year. Yeah, we are. Why not? Our theme for 2020 is going to be 2020 vision. Seeing things the way God sees things. You can't do this theme any other year. You can't say 2021 vision. That doesn't make any sense. You can't say 2024 vision. That's dumb. 2020 vision. What's our 2020 vision? Not going to your optometrist and getting that adjusted every year. Learning to see things the way God sees things. And so as we've done every year, there will be a sub-theme every month. What's the theme for January? Here it is. We've been talking about it. Learn to see souls the way that God sees souls. And we will, in the last Sunday of January, have our Mission Sunday. And we'll talk more about that in the next couple weeks. Have our Mission Sunday that last Sunday of January. And I hope you're preparing for it and praying about it and looking forward to it. It's always such a great day for this church. It's a great day for seeing souls. For February, to learn to see potential, the way God sees potential. In March, to learn to see the cross, the way God sees the cross. In March, March 1st through the 4th, we'll have our gospel meeting. Eric Owens is coming to preach in our gospel meeting, the theme of the meeting. And ushers, you can start passing those out. I forgot to tell you that. The theme for our meeting is Making My Salvation Sure. Just hang on to these things the ushers are passing out. Don't get distracted. But Making My Salvation Sure is the theme of our meeting with Eric Owens. Mark your calendar and plan to be here for that. And then after we see the cross, the way God sees the cross, in April, see the empty tomb. And every April, April 16th this year, we'll have our Ladies' Day, and Eric Owens' daughter is going to be speaking our Ladies' Day this year. You get to the month of May, and we learn to see dangers the way God sees dangers. There's good things we need to be looking for. There's dangerous things we need to be looking for and be aware of. In May, we have our Power Up. First Saturday of May is our Power Up for Christian men, Recharge for Christian men. And the theme of that is Empowered by God. And we're looking forward to that. In May, we also have our Promotion Sunday, where we promote our kids to the next grade and our high school graduates luncheon. You get to the month of June, and the theme for that month is seeing opportunities all around us. There's opportunities. We just need to lift up our eyes and look and see those opportunities. In June, we have our Vacation Bible School. In June, we start our summer series, Kickstart Your Summer Series. The theme for that this year is It Is Well With My Soul. The end of June, we'll have our leadership training camp. Get to the month of July, and we need to learn to see the judgment, the way that God sees the judgment. We have our week up at camp, a week earlier this year, but our week up at camp that month. In August, we learn to see the Bible, the way that God sees the Bible. We'll have our Charge by Christ weekend for our youth. We'll have our number of events, back to school ice cream social that month. But hear this. I know you all have not listened to me and you're already looking at the thing that I asked you not to look at, but whatever. Here, August 28th, 29th, and 30th. Got it? August 28th, 29th, and 30th. A biblical creation seminar with Dr. Jeff Miller from Apologetics Press. Put it on your calendar and be inviting everybody you know to be a part of it. We'll talk more about it as it gets closer. But be here August 28th, 29th, and 30th for a biblical creation seminar. Get to September and you learn to see brethren. See the church the way God sees brethren. You get to October and you see sin the way that God sees sin. And in October, we have our Spiritual Enrichment Weekend, second weekend of that month. You get to November, and we need to learn to see heaven the way that God sees heaven. November 5th through the 8th will be our 25th annual South Florida lectureship. And the theme this year is He Who Promised is Faithful. Great focus and study on the promises of God. One of them is about heaven. And then the final month of the year, learn to see providence the way that God sees providence. It's going to be a wonderful year. Focusing in on having 2020 vision, improving our vision to stop trying to get God to see things our way and to learn that we need to try to see things God's way. We're excited about this theme and hope that you will be too. Let me share one more exciting piece of information with you. This has been a long time coming. Been a lot of work that's been put into this, and I'm thankful for those who have put a lot of time and effort into this day launching our brand new website. It launched this morning. Some of you have probably been on it because you haven't been listening. You've just been on our website because that's the best place in the world to go. If you're not listening to a sermon, just be on our website. That's okay. But we've got the best website of any church anywhere. It's a brand new site, has a new look, but it's the same content. It has the same wonderful, jam-packed content that we've always had, and more, and continuing to grow. And so here's what the homepage looks like when you go there. It's got a new mobile version so that when you're on your phone, you don't have to do all the stretching and all that to try to find where you're going. But as you scroll down, you see the main features that are there. You still watch our services live, very plain place for those who need to do that. And all of the same wonderful features that we've had, but a nice, new, clean look to the site. And it is an incredible site. There is a couple new things to it. One of them is that we are adding a members section to this site. So up on the top right, after the word give, where you can do your electronic giving, there's a member section that is password protected. That means you got to have a password, right, in order to get into that. If you would like to have the password, it's the same password that we gave out last year to PTP365, if you were here. We gave that password out to our members, Polishing the Pulpit 365, which is a great site that has thousands of wonderful sermons and Bible studies on it. And somebody says, I don't remember that password. I'm sad that you don't remember that password and that you don't use it every day. But if you would like to know what that password is, you can see me or Cindy or Josh this morning, and we will be nice and let you know what that password is so that you can get into the members section of our website. When you go to the members section, there is a link here to go to Polishing the Pulpit 365, where you can go there. You can use the same login credentials you use on the members section to get into PTP 365. And when you log into PTP 365, you can use their search engine there. And there is just thousands of wonderful Bible lessons that you can listen to. So that's the first, that's at the bottom of this list, but an outstanding resource for you. If you want a list of our shut-ins, obviously you can get that from the bulletin, but you can come here and see an updated list of our shut-ins. If you want to see a list of our 40-something widows and widowers, you can come to the website. You say, I want to write cards to our widows. I want to call and check on our widows. Here you go. Here's a complete list of the widows in this congregation. But here's the part of the member section that I'm excited about, and that's the prayer list. This prayer list is going to be kept up to date, as much up to date as we have information to keep it up to date. You know that as a member of this church, you get family news on Monday that lists those who are sick, and then it's Wednesday when you get the next family news. Some things happen between Monday and Wednesday. You don't know about them, some of you, until Wednesday family news comes out. Or you don't know about them until prayer list on Thursday or the bulletin comes out. The idea with this prayer list is that it's going to be updated whenever we get the information. We will come and right up here at the top of the page, let me scroll that up, right up here at the top of the page, we'll have the sympathy, but we're going to have these latest updates, the latest information we have on members of this church and their family members, we're going to let you know. So if somebody goes in the hospital, we're going to stick it on the site. If somebody gets out of the hospital, we'll stick it on the site. So all throughout your day, this is a great resource to go to. Hey, what's going on? You know, is so-and-so still in the hospital? Well, if you come here and it doesn't say they're home from the hospital, then to our knowledge, they're still in the hospital, which would help if you let us know when you're in and out of the hospital, because the hospital doesn't call us with your discharge orders and to let us know. But as much as we've got information on this will be a great source. Utilize it to know what's happening. When somebody falls and breaks their arm and goes to the hospital and needs surgery, if that ever happens, just random idea of something that could happen, it'll go on the website so that, you know, obviously family news and bulletin, all of that's going to have the information, but we're going to try to keep that up to date. There will also be other requests. Let me scroll that up just a second. There will be other requests from PBL members. So if you've got friends and acquaintances and co-workers that you want prayed for, and especially some of those things that we put in our family prayer on Wednesday night, those will be on here. Now, we're going to limit how long this stuff stays on here. Otherwise, this page will just scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll forever. But stuff will be added here. It will stay for a period of time. This center section will often have some of those members of this church that we are always in need to pray for. But this will be one of the more visited parts of the site. Also, let me mention our calendar. I didn't get a screenshot of the calendar. It looks different. If you look at it on your phone now, it looks different. It is a much improved plugin for our calendar. That what you will be able to do is you will be able to log in, and you will be able to, if you want to, take those calendar events and sync them to your own calendar, whether it's a Google calendar, whether it's an Outlook calendar, whatever your calendar is that you use, then sync up those events from our website right to your device. So that, and if you do that and you change your mind, you can reverse it. And it'll come out. But that's a great way to have, even on your own phone. You don't necessarily have to be checking different places. It'll just sync right to your calendar, and you can have an up-to-date list of what's happening. So we're excited about the new website. It is taking a lot of work to get it to where it is. Spend some time going through it. Again, the information is very much the same. It needed a new and improved look, and we're excited about that. Be using it. Share it with others. Send this link out. Share it on your social media, and let folks know about it. This is going to be an outstanding year. Learning to see things the way that God sees things. Seeing stuff the way He sees it. Seeing situations the way He sees it. Seeing souls the way God sees souls. As we finish this morning, I wonder, do we see salvation the way that God sees salvation? You know, we might look at salvation in a way that we think is good. We might think about salvation in a way that we've heard other people talk about, but do we see salvation the way that God... That's the only thing that matters, is the way God sees it. Do we see it the way God sees it? God says in order to be saved, a person needs to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You cannot be saved if you do not believe that Jesus came and died for our sins, that He was buried, that He was raised again the third day. Do you believe that? The Bible says that's absolutely essential. Just as essential as believing is making a choice, making a decision. Once I've learned about the consequences and the seriousness of sin and what it did to my Savior, I want to stop sinning. I want to turn away from sin. I want to stop doing what's wrong. I want to start doing what's right. That's what the Bible calls repentance, a change of direction, where I turn my life in the direction of God. And when I've done that, the Bible says, equally essential is I've got to confess the faith that's in my heart. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but I don't have salvation yet. As essential as these three things are, I don't have salvation yet. I'm not saved from my sins yet until I am buried with Christ. Until I am immersed into water, immersed with Christ, so that at that moment, not before, not believing I've already been saved and then I'm baptized, but I'm baptized in order at that very moment I might receive the gift of salvation of God. All of my sins taken away, added to His church, registered in heaven. That's what happens when I see, understand, and obey salvation the way God wants me to see it. And then He calls upon me as His child to live faithfully, serve Him faithfully each and every day of my life, to see that the way that God sees it. Are you a New Testament Christian today? Are you a faithful New Testament Christian today? What better way would there be to start this year and to make sure that you are giving your life to the Lord in the way that He wants you to do that? If you're not a Christian today, we implore you, come right now as together we stand and sing.